Intervju Radija Študent.
Spoštovane poslušalke, spoštovani poslušalci, pred nami je skoraj v živo intervju, ki ga bomo izvedli s Carmen Souza, pevko, kitaristko, pianistko, skladateljico, skratka vsestransko glasbenico, ki jo bomo slišati jutri zvečer na odru kluba Cankarjevega doma. So, hello Carmen.
Hello.
And we also got here with us the bass player. Hello to you.
Hi, how are you?
Well, so we're broadcast live on the frequencies of Radio Student. And well, for a start, I'd like to ask you, can you just maybe introduce yourself to our listeners out there?
Okay. Well, my name is Carmen Souza, and I am an artist from Cape Verde. Mm-hmm. And I mix the Cape Verdean tradition with jazz. And I sing, and I play the piano, and I play the guitar. And, you know, my music is a whole different environment.
Mm-hmm. So you were born in Lisbon, but so it seems you take your Cape Verdean heritage as the main inspiration for your musical identity. So what draws you so much to the Cape Verdean culture?
Well, I grew up in the midst of this Cape Verdean culture because my parents, they are Cape Verdean. So you learn the dialect, you eat the food, and you're among other people from Cape Verde, and you grow up with this. And I'm also, you know, I was also influenced by the outside world because I was growing up in Lisbon, so I had access to everything else that was going on in the whole world. So these are my main two, things that I've been growing up with, the Cape Verdean culture and then the European and the world culture.
But can you maybe elaborate a little on the sources of the Cape Verdean culture, as which influences were already there before you rearranged them?
Well, the influences that were already there, you know, in terms of music were, you know, like Luís Moraes or Travadinha, who are instrumentalists very known in Cape Verde from a long time ago. And this is the music that is, you know, still travels with me because it's part of my growth.
Mm-hmm. So, somewhere you mentioned that some Polish traditions, like mazurka, they are a part of Cape Verdean culture. How did they come there?
Well, you know,
or when?
Yeah, well, the Cape Verdean history is very full, you know, of chapters, because the Portuguese they discovered the islands; they were completely inhabited, and then they came and they brought, you know, slaves from all over Africa. And with the Portuguese came people from all over Europe because they were making the big exchange of the slaves and also tea and bananas and everything. So that would be the main point. And so from there also came the Polish, where the Cape Verdean they adapted the mazurka to their traditions. And so you can hear, you know, the mazurka. You could also hear as well in the morna or in the coladeira. You hear different types of influences that are, some are European and everything, but there's nothing like really studied until the end profoundly, because these are stories, you know, and it's been a long time ago.
So you also mentioned that the Cape Verdean music has a great similarity to the blues scales in America. Mm-hmm. Is that the thing of the, you know, the slave economy, or is it maybe more of a coincidence?
Yeah, well, a lot of the slaves that came out of Cape Verde went to America, and so as this was a pole, they were coming from Africa, then to Cape Verde, and then they were spread, you know, into Europe and the America. And so a lot of the songs that the people were singing in the fields in Africa, they were sung in the fields as the slaves in America. And you have a lot of similarities in the way of singing, in the lyrics, you know, the message.
And what about your Portuguese or even maybe wider Iberian musical heritage? It does not seem to play such a big role in your musical expression as the Cabo Verdean.
Yeah, well, you know, the Portuguese, because they colonized a lot of different places, you know, you have Cape Verde, you have Angola, you have Brazil, you have Macau, you have Mozambique. All of these cultures, all the people in Portugal, they grew up with these cultures in Portugal, you know, because from a time, a lot of these people went to Portugal. And so I grew up very used to listen to music of Angola and Mozambique, and that music was kind of also ours, also Portuguese, you know. Everybody feels that it belongs to Portugal as well, a little bit. So maybe you can find some of that Portuguese culture there.
What about you? You mainly sing in the Criolian dialect. So what draws you to it? I mean, it does somewhat maybe limit the transmission of your lyrics to the audiences.
Well, if I was singing in Portuguese still. Okay. But, you know, the dialect is also very alike, the Portuguese. And you have the different types of accents through each island. And I use the Creole almost as an instrument as well, because it's very musical and it has a very natural swing that I can use as well as my voice, you see, and I can give it different types of environments in the different types of songs, you know.
Well, we were sort of evolving, moving around this topic, but can you explain to the audience, to our listeners, the why your album is called Cachupada? Or how do you pronounce that?
Yes. Cachupada is when everybody gets together in Cape Verde to eat the traditional dish from Cape Verde, which is called cachupa. And, you know, the cachupa is a big plate where you have different types of beans and meat and even fish and vegetables and corn. And so I consider my music to have several ingredients as well. And so I made this parallel between the music and the food.
Besides all this so-called world music, the most recognizable ingredient is jazz, probably. Can you maybe tell me, you studied jazz music or have you come to it independently by yourself?
Well, I discovered more of jazz when I met Théo Pascal, who is the producer, and we've been working together for 12 years. And he was already an established musician in Portugal. And so he was the one to really show me a lot more profoundly what jazz was. And from there, I started to listen to a lot of musicians and singers and starting to be influenced by them. And I love the fact that the jazz is improvisation, because, you know, for me, every day a song can sound different. We can create every day different things. And so that's very good.
But usually when you talk about the great singers from jazz tradition, you mentioned Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone. What about any contemporary singers which you feel are exploring something new and you feel inspired by them?
Well, contemporary, let me see. I listen to a lot of singers, but I think I listen a lot more to instrumentalists because, you know, I use my voice as an instrument more than, you know, the regular common singing voice, you know. And so, you know, I hear a lot of Charlie Parker. I hear, you know, even Luis Moraes, the saxophone player from Cape Verde, who I grew up listening to. And, you know, I listen to Horace Silver, Bill Evans. But the singers that I heard more was Ella Fitzgerald. But I believe that, for example, Dede Bridgewater, she's a strong singer. I love her singing, and you know, so many more.
Well, you did the cover of Charlie Parker's song, what's it called, Donnelly. Yeah. Was it a challenge to you to sort of go to follow the quite virtuosic saxophone player.
Yes, well, it's a big challenge, you know, because the melody, yeah, it goes up and down and it's very fast. Mm. And so I made a Creole lyric with the whole story for it, which was a big challenge for me, you know, to put a word in each of the notes in the score. And and also I transcribed a little bit of his solo in the saxophone, you know, I transcribed it to the voice, and it was a very nice
challenge. How closely were you able to follow the solo, note by note, or
yeah? Of course, note by note.
What about somewhere you said, you transcript a lot of saxophone and trumpet players. Mm. Which are the other wind instrument musicians that you feel are particularly inspiring for your singing?
Well, let me see. Who do I hear more?
Who do we hear when you sing, actually?
I hear a lot of Miles Davis, with those kind of blue albums that he had, and also more modern. I could say Michael Brecker, or you know, but these types of musicians. I also transcribe a bit of piano players, where I have the Ora Silver songs, a song from my father. I transcribe this solo, and because that natural vibe, spontaneous vibe that he had there is completely amazing.
So you think you can actually, by the way, for the listeners, Ora Silver was a jazz pianist from the 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. who is otherwise from Capo Verde also.
Yes.
So do you think you can actually hear the Capo Verdean heritage in his swing?
Yes.
And in his bop?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
What about, you also said that for the cover of the song of My Favorite Things, mm-hmm. you're inspired by John Coltrane's mm-hmm. version of it. Mm-hmm. Which aspect of his interpretation of the song sort of draws you the most, and upon which you modeled, let's say, your adaptation?
Well, that version that he has with McCoy Tyner and a video that is very known.
I think I know it.
All that vibe that he creates in the song, it almost created a new song, you know, from the one that we heard on the film, the original one. And what attracted me the most was the fact that he made that song as his own. Mm-hmm. You know, so you could hear that song, and he said, "Well, he was the composer." You see, mm-hmm. and that's very nice. That's very good mm-hmm. for an artist to take a song that inspires him very much and turn it into something of his own, not making the complete copy of mm-hmm. the original one.
Well, to stay a little bit more with the jazz players, your music was. It was mentioned alongside Thelonious Monk a few times, especially the previous album. Was that a sort of intentional, or at least were you inspired by his compositions, or was it more coincidental?
Well, I hear so much music, you know, that mm-hmm. it's completely natural that you can hear some things here and there, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's completely spontaneous, you know, because that's the thing that my ear is telling me to do. Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes in a place I want to hear like a Thelonious Monk vibe, or in another place I want to hear completely Bill Evans vibe, mm-hmm. you know. My ear is kind of educated to, you know, these types of sounds. It's perfectly natural that mm-hmm. maybe people can hear a little bit of this and that in my music.
Well, you besides singing quite versatile, you also play keyboards, a guitar, mm-hmm. you compose. Where have you learned all this musical knowledge, by the wide range of it?
Well, it was mainly self-taught.
Yeah.
I as I said, I started to make music really for real was with Theo Pascal, and he was the one, you know, to teach me some things in the guitar and the piano and everything. And then from there, I just started finding out things of my own, because, you know, instruments and music is kind of a individual journey, you know, that you try to achieve a certain level that you can play with others and do things with other musicians and interact. And so it's like you study to play the instrument, but then you have to learn again how to play with others as well. And that is very important for a musician.
Could you say maybe that the music was exceptionally big aspect of the Cape Verdean diaspora in Portugal, or is it any different within the Cape Verdean diaspora than, let's say, among the other peoples that living there?
Sorry, I didn't answer that.
If in the Cape Verdean diaspora in Lisbon, does the music play a big role in the whole community?
Yeah, well, Cape Verdean music is the biggest export of Cape Verde, and Portugal always had a lot of, you know, Cape Verdean musicians everywhere, and actually now we only have one place where there's more Cape Verdean music in Lisbon, but there used to be a lot of places where you could hear all these Lusophone music, and especially from Cape Verde, and but it's very important, you know, for Cape Verde, for Cape Verde and for Lisbon, you know, the Cape Verdean music.
So what about the arrangements of the music? They are mostly your work or maybe Theo's?
We work together.
Yeah. Okay, so let's switch to our second interview here. Theo, can you maybe tell about the decade-long cooperation of yours with Carmen?
Well, it's been kind of a challenge, you know, because we are developing something new in terms of music, so you never know what you're gonna appear next. So this is kind of a, every day is different. We studied our music, of course, we analyze our music, but at the same time you want to that music comes naturally. So that's been these 10 years or 12 years, that's been our, you know, kind of main idea of the music that we do. And, you know, have been great to tours and playing live, you know, it's kind of a thing that we really like to do it, and we are still, you know, a lot of things to do it and develop, and, you know,
and you also play in a duo. So how does that music differ from, let's say, the one that you play with the band?
Well, the difference is basically when you have duo, you just have two people to play. So you go more to the roots and the first image that we create. And the other thing is you when you play, when you perform that, we need to play with the silence. You play more simple, and playing more simple sometimes is a challenge, because it's not easy to play simple and still feel like you have everything there. So, but you have been, you know, great, you know, and we made a duo album in London live, and, you know, was kind of a surprise also for us, because we never thought before to do it as a duo. Yeah. And, you know, but it's also good to play in duo, or also good to play in quartet or wherever, you know.
And do you, let's say, tomorrow in the concert, is there going to be any song that you're going to play just the two of you, or you do the whole set?
Yeah, actually, we're going to play it in quartet. Of course, the main songs are in quartet, and also we have some moments in duo. But yeah, we'll be like two or three songs.
And you play with many different musicians while you throughout the globe. So but still the arrangements are quite dense and elaborate. How much do the different players that play with bring to the music on stage?
Well, you know, when you play with the different musicians on stage, you always have different tastes. Mm-hmm. And what you work and you play in a different direction, because playing together is like that. You need to, you know, feel the other musician and go with him, you know, or the other way around, you need to feel you and go with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any musician has a voice. So, you know, it's good to bring to the music different musicians, because they bring you different tastes, they bring you, you know, different sounds, different colors, different environments. So that's what we do regularly, you mm-hmm. know, we play with different musicians, and we are also open to play with more musicians, but needs to have something special, something in common.
Mm-hmm. So, and this quartet that you're going to play
yes.
tomorrow, it's the same one that you recorded Cachupada, or?
Well, not really. The drummer is a different drummer. He's a drummer from Mozambique that I've been playing with him for long, called Elias, and he's living in Manchester for right now. But he's a very good drummer, because he's linked with related with Afro music, so which is, you know, very important for us. And the piano player is a piano player from Portugal. He comes from the jazz scene. Mm-hmm. And also from the traditional jazz kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes we play with a different drummer that he lives in New York, called Mauricio Zottarelli, and he also record on the album. And sometimes we do tours with him. We're going to play with him next in the US tour in Canada, big festivals there. So you have a long tour there, and it will be the drummer. So, you know, it depends really on the, you know, which country you are playing in.
Mm-hmm. And so Carmen said she sort of got to know more contemporary music when she started working with you. What about how much do you know of African music before you two started working together?
I've been grown up in a family that was my father was a pastor, mm-hmm. and my mother had like a mission, and he brings people from Africa to Portugal, mm-hmm. people that came to live in Portugal. So, and I was, you know, basically I grew with the Afro environment, mm-hmm. you know, from Lusophone area. I mean, from Mozambique, from Angola, from Cape Verde, of course, and from Guinea, and you know. With all these ears, I start kind of living with them, you know, and you recognize the food, you recognize the way that the people think, you recognize, you know, the environment of mm-hmm. Africa. And after that, when I start playing as a professional musician, I've been playing with so many artists from Africa, you know. So that's, you know, like a process, naturally process comes to my life, and I accept it, and I start doing the things mm-hmm. on this way.
Well, to move once again to our first guest, Carmen, since you've gained recognition, you played around the world, so can you tell maybe, are there any musical traditions that you feel you haven't tapped into yet, but you plan on incorporating them, let's say maybe more of the Middle Eastern sound, or any specific underground African sound going on?
Well, you know, the African tradition, it has so much, you know, that there's a lot to explore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would like to search a bit more of the Portuguese tradition, because it's a great history as well, because Portugal was colonized by a lot of the North African. Mm-hmm. And so there is a little bit of that North African vibe in the mm-hmm. music, the traditional music from Portugal. And so I would like to, you know, explore these relationships, and also mix it with the history, you know, where the Muslims went to Portugal, mm-hmm. and you can see that in some monuments in Portugal. You can see that in the food, more to the south of Portugal, and you know, I'd like to explore that a lot more.
Okay, so we're a little bit short on time, so actually just the last question, what else besides the album can we expect you to all of you to play tomorrow on stage?
From the album?
Yeah.
Well, from the album you have all of the songs that we've been talking about, and also we have some of the songs that we brought from our old repertoire that are with us since 2005, and we mix the moments, you know, and I hope people like it.
Well, both of you, thank you very much for your time on the talk, and well, till tomorrow, do enjoy Ljubljana. Okay. So, goodbye. Tole je bil sedaj pogovor z pevko, kitaristko, pianistko in skladateljico Carmen Souza, ter z njenim soigralcem, igralcem basa, po imenu Tio Pascal. Tako da, in do nadaljnega, jutri lahko slišite tudi živo v klubu Cankarjevega doma, zvečer ob 8. Do nadaljnega pa lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.